Good morning to everyone. It's a blessing to be gathered together here in God's house, to be with us together as we collectively seek God's face. If you have your Bibles with you, you can turn to John chapter 12. I want to focus my thoughts on a passage here. I won't read the whole passage, but it's an interesting one, and I want to pick out some verses in about the middle of the passage to be thinking of. If you have it open there, reading from the King James, verse 20, "And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus." And presumably the encounter was effected. "Sir, we would see Jesus." That's the phrase that I want to focus on this morning. There's different angles that you could take, different tacks that you could take. I've spoken on this before. But this morning, I want to give you a bit of the context for these verses where I broke into down in about the middle of John 12. Jesus had come to Bethany. He had supped with Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And that was when Mary anointed Jesus' feet with that costly ointment, and Judas got into a dither about it, a hissy fit about it. But the Jews, this was the crescendoing into the last week of Jesus' life, and the Jews had come around, they were flocking around. They wanted to see Jesus, but not only Jesus, they wanted to see Lazarus. But the religious hierarchy wasn't too tickled with how these things were playing out, because it was kind of confounding some of the desires that they had. So they were trying to figure out a way. Now, how could they put Lazarus to death? And I'm not sure what they were thinking. Death was one thing that wasn't sticking for Lazarus. But anyway, we have the triumphal entry recorded. The Palm Sunday, which we just celebrated several weeks ago, and this Easter season, these beautiful songs about Christ's triumphant victory. It's wonderful. Here were the Pharisees. Jesus, his popularity was rising, and their positions were being challenged. Jesus, the galvanizing figure at the center of this drama. It's like the Pharisees are wringing their hands. What can we do next? I mean, what we're trying isn't working. They were trying to beat out this prairie fire with wet gunny sacks, and it wasn't working. So in that scenario, we have these Greeks coming there, and they're saying, you know what? We'd like to see Jesus. We'd like to see him. And so how can we do this? They made some plans, and they figured out, and they came and they talked, was it first to Andrew, and then Andrew to Philip, to make this thing happen, because they wanted to see Jesus. We would see Jesus. Do those four words describe you this morning? I would see Jesus. We would see Jesus. Where do you find yourselves? You know, in a very real sense, the essence of meaningful, genuine life comes only after a real encounter with Jesus. You know, that original encounter is pivotal. It's extremely important. But that doesn't assure that we'll always be basking in his presence, in Jesus' presence. Our response to Jesus drawing us requires some effort, some desire, some diligence on our part. Yesterday, I spent a lot of time at the relief sale out at the fairgrounds in Hutchinson. I saw a lot of people there, some that I know only casually, and I just see them periodically, maybe at that event or at events, similar venues. But in our text today here in John, the Greeks had a desire to see something happen, and they took steps to make that happen. Last week, we were taken with the desire to see this solar eclipse. So there was a lot of planning that went into this. We were watching maps and seeing where the cloud cover would be, seeing where it might be a good place for us to go to view this spectacular event. So we, along with a bunch of you already on Sunday afternoon a week ago, started driving toward where we, with this path of totality, was going to be. It took a significant amount of effort to do that. We were drawn by the promise of seeing this spectacular event. And for those of you that saw it, it was a spectacular event. It was surreal. It was just kind of otherworldly when in the middle of the day it got dark. For 4 minutes it was like night was intruding on daylight. It was worth the effort, but it didn't happen on its own. You know, a real encounter with Jesus is more than just running into Don Schmidt at the relief sale. It's more than reading up on solar eclipses. We speak of our relationship with Jesus. How much priority and effort do we make to spend time in his presence? Coming into Christ's presence today takes desire and effort on our part. Secondly, time spent in Christ's presence is life-changing. I think of Moses as he came into the presence of God there on the mountain. The people were terrified, and they had boundaries set that they couldn't cross as the holiness of God was being revealed there. Hebrews 12, verse 21 says about Moses, "And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake." It wasn't just a casual encounter. It was a profound, it was a life-changing event. I think of Isaiah as he came into God's presence. He was profoundly struck by his own inadequacy. "Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." You remember how that story unfolded. Isaiah was poor, undone, humble, unclean lips. But when those lips were touched by the coals from off the altar, we have that beautiful verse in verse 8. "And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me." Time spent in Christ's presence is life-changing. Let's hop on over to the New Testament. In Acts 3, we have the story of Peter and John, that lame man there at the temple gate, and he was there begging alms. You remember the story. Peter, kind of the brash, outspoken one. Let me just give my own paraphrase of that conversation. "Lame man, pay attention. You want money from me? You're out of luck. But I do have something to offer you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And the man did. And it caused a lot of problems for the Jewish leaders. I won't go into all of the details of that story. I'm just referring to it briefly. But let me jump ahead to the next chapter, verse 13. "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." They had been with Jesus. Time spent with Jesus in Jesus' presence is a life-changing event. And in many cases, it's readily apparent to those around us. There's people that you see and you say, man, that man has been with Jesus. That lady, that person has been with Jesus. Time spent in Christ's presence is life-changing. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18. We have a beautiful concept laid out for us. You know, we may be pensive about our growth, our Christian life, or maybe our stagnation or whatever the situation is. Paul here draws on his personal life experience. He gives us a powerful antidote for that condition today. Verse 18, "But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. It's time spent in Christ's presence that changes us from the inside out. We would see Jesus. We come with desire. Christ's presence transforms us. Thirdly, someday we will all appear in Christ's presence. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every man may receive the good things, may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Revelation 1, 7, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. The songwriter says, face to face, shall I behold him? Face to face, what will it be? When with rapture I behold him, Jesus Christ, who died for me. Face to face shall I behold him. Beautiful concept. There's some day when all of us will come face to face with Christ. During this section of eternity that we call time, our encounters with Christ are significantly impacted by desire and effort on our part. But there's coming a day when our encounter with Christ is not voluntary, but mandatory. We know people who employ a lot of bluster and bluff as they plow through life. Maybe they pad their resume, maybe whatever. Sometimes those people are us. In that day when we come face to face with Christ, the bluster and bluff, the pretense and the pretext will not stand a chance. So how should we then live? 1 John 1, verse 7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. That 1 John 1, it's a beautiful chapter talking about the freedom of living in light, the bondage perhaps of living in death. Let Christ have fellowship with others. Let Christ's blood cleanse you. Sirs, we would see Jesus. The challenge is for all of us here this morning. Are we seeing Jesus? Is there a gap between what we idealize and what we are realizing? To spend quality time in Christ's presence takes desire and effort on our part. Secondly, a real encounter with Christ is a life of continued transformation. Thirdly, coming into Christ's presence is largely voluntary today, but someday every eye shall see him. All must appear before him. Let's walk in light today so that we can welcome with joy that entrance into his very presence. For our prayer and the transition, let's sing, Open Our Eyes, Lord, We Want to See Jesus. Can you do that, Shane? Go ahead.
So
thank you, Lowell, for leading us in those